Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we open up our shiur today on Daf Pei, we are really opening up in the middle of a discussion. In fact, on the second line from the top, where our shiur is supposed to begin, we'll notice a triangle. This is a continuation of a series of answers and hesberim that were offered already by Rabbi Avoh and Reish Lakish on Daf Ayin Tesumet Beis to explain the opening of our Mishnah. The Mishnah that was on Daf Ayin Tesumet Beis in the middle opened up by saying, Rotzeach shenis arev ba'achirim kulan turim. And the question was raised, who are the achirim that are featured here? If the achirim are totally innocent people, then the Mishnah, as far as the ratio is concerned, makes total sense. It's too obvious. It's pshita. And secondly, Rav Yehuda says that we put them all in the kippah, in the squalid location in which they would eventually die. How could that possibly be if you're dealing with all the others that are totally innocent? Hence, this gave rise to Rabbi Avoh and Reish Lakish offering alternative explanations as to what the who the achirim is. Rabbi Avoh made reference to achirim are other murderers, a rotzeach that we know had not yet received the Gemar Din, got mixed up with other murderers that had received Gemar Din. Reish Lakish mentioned that if we were talking about people, there would have been no argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma. Rather, Reish Lakish said we were dealing with a shor, shelo nigmar din, a murderous animal that did not receive a final psak din, that got mixed up with other murderous animals that did receive the psak din. This brings us to Rava. Rava has a difficulty with both Rabbi Avoh and Reish Lakish's explanations. And this question is really what with which we concluded the previous shiur, that according to their explanations, how does one explain a brisa that serves as a comment on our Mishnah, wherein Rabbi Yossi says that if the murderer got mixed up, even with Abu Chalafta, what is meant by even with Abu Chalafta, who is a tzaddik? In other words, if we take Rabbi Avoh, for example, who spoke about a rotzeach, shelo nigmar dino, that got mixed up with other roitzchim, other known murderers that received the Gemar Din, and even so, the Tanna Kamma says, according to Rabbi Avoh, the Tanna Kamma would say they're all putter, then all the more so if we were dealing with the mix-up between with a murderer and Abu Chalafta, then that would be more poshut, more obvious that they would all be pturim. So what was meant by Rabbi Yossi's comment in the Brisa when he says, even with Abu Chalafta? This gives rise to Rava's approach. Rava explains the Mishnah by mentioning that there's an entire section of the Mishnah that's missing. Hence, we will see the Reisha opening up with a comment, as our Mishnah has Kulan Pturin, that they are all exempt, as a case that we did not actually see in the Mishnah itself. And on this opening case, it's going to be pointed out that there is, in fact, no machlokis. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda appears in the Mishnah seeming to disagree with the Tanna Kamma on some point, that point is not stated in the Mishnah. It's a chisurei mechasra. It's a situation where the Mishnah was left in a abbreviated fashion, and one has to understand through the oral tradition there, in fact, is a missing case. And when we present the missing case, then we will see a point of machlokis between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda, who in our Mishnah says, Koinsen oisan l'kippah. But we must emphasize, the case of Koinsen oisan l'kippah that appears in the Mishnah is not going on the opening case that we will feature very shortly as we now turn to the Gemara. Ela Omar Rava Hochi Komar. Thusly, one is to understand the Mishnah. And what Rava does is he presents a case which serves as the opening of the Mishnah, in which there's exemption, and there is no machlokas on this. Let's see the case. Shnayim shoyimdin, two people were standing. V'yotza chetz mi beinehem v'horag, and an arrow was shot from between these two people. We don't know who shot the arrow, and it killed somebody. Shnehem p'turim, both of the people are exempt. We cannot prosecute this case. On this point, Rabbi Yehuda does not disagree. He agrees. Shnei Pturim. The Omer Rabbi Yossi, Afilu Abba Chalafta Benehem. And Rabbi Yossi, who is a comment that's found in a Brisa, points out that in this case, they are both exempt, even if it's pretty sure to us who really shot the arrow. Namely, it wasn't Abba Chalafta. Abba Chalafta being a known righteous individual, he certainly is not the one that shot the murderous arrow. And yet, since we don't know for sure, both are exempt. And we go on. What we see now is a case that is going to be the subject of the controversy that appears in the Mishnah, but this case itself was not spelled out. This is what we call Chisuri Machasra. These were words that were left out of the Mishnah. And we continue. Veshor Shenigmar Dinoi, a murderous ox that killed a person, that received a final judgment. That got mixed up with other fine, totally innocent oxen. So we have a mix-up. We have a group, a large group of oxen. One of them happens to be murderous. Soiklin oisan. We kill them. We kill all of them. This is called a taroivus with an isur hano. A murderous ox is a type of creature that's forbidden to have benefit from. And when it gets involved, when it gets mixed up with others, they all take on this prohibition. So hence, the Tanakhama would rule Soiklin Oison. They are all to be killed. And by the way, this point of Soiklin Oison does not appear in the Mishnah under the Tanakhama. But this is how we are to understand things. Rabbi Huda Oimer, Koinsin Oison Likipo. This did appear in the Mishnah, and it's on this case that Rabbi Huda dissents, that he disagrees, that in the case where he had a Shorsh Nigmardino that got mixed up with other positive animals, Rabbi Huda says, we don't trouble the Beis Din to execute them according to the court procedure of stoning, but rather we put them all into a squalid location and allow them to die there. What we've done with the markings, as you can see, is we've put a frame around all of this because this represents the correct understanding, according to Rava, of our Mishnah. So we treat it as if it's a Tanaic source. V'hotanya, Rashi points out, this is benichusa, a support. What we will see in this source, it's a Tanaic source, in which we've dashed, underlined, that which is a direct support to the interpretation that Rava gave. Rava mentioned, under Rabbi Huda's name, that there would be koinsin ois on the kippah in the event that there was a shor shenigmar dino that got mixed up with other positive animals. V'hotanya, the source begins, in which we've dashed, underlined the main phrases that will be the siwa to Rava. Pora shemisa v'achar kach yolda. We have an ox that killed somebody, and then it gave birth. The ox, that is. Im ad shaloi nigmar dino yolda v'loda muter. If the birth took place before the final psak din was issued regarding the murderous mother, the offspring is allowed. Im mishenigmar dino yolda vlada oser. If after gemar din the animal gave birth, in other words, when the gemar din was issued, the fetus was still unborn. It was still inside the mother. So the Vlad, when it is born, is going to be Osir. We say that Ubor Yerech Imahu, the offspring, is like an extension, like the leg of the mother, an extension of the mother. And when the Psak Din was given, in this case, it was given on the Ubor as well, on the offspring as well, the unborn, that is. Nisarev b'achirim, if you have a shor shenigmar dino that got mixed up with other animals, v'achirim b'achirim, and those got mixed up with still others, koinsen oisan l'kipa. So we see here an example of an animal that was nigmar dino that got mixed up with others. We see the ruling of koinsen oisan l'kipa according to the Tana Kama of this source, which parallels the Rebbe Yehuda psak in the Rava rereading of the Mishnah. Hence, this would support Rava's approach. Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon Omer Mevian Oisan LeBeisdin V'Soiklin Oisan. And we see here another opinion that also we saw mentioned in Rava's interpretation, that in the case of a mix-up, there is a daya that holds that they are all stoned. So just like Rava said that the Mishnah featured a machlokes tanoim, and how do you deal with a shorch and a gmardino that got mixed up with others, there one daya holding soiklinos and the other daya koitzinos lekipa, we see the same two dayos appearing in the same two opinions appearing in this Tanaic source. Omar Mar. We now turn our attention to some details, a particular point that was mentioned in the Braisa, and we're going to raise a question in light of what Rava says on another occasion. How do we resolve Rava's opinion on another occasion with what we saw in this Tanaic source? Before we go further, we're going to offer a topic heading to this particular section, no say. We're calling it Hemshech because it follows from that which was mentioned above, but it can also be viewed as a new discussion. Dinoi Shel Rava, we've written on the side. Rava's Halocha, Vlad Hanogachas Asura. The embryo that is part of an animal that murdered a person, when it is born, it is forbidden. Hagamora Makshe Mibraisa. The Gemara will ask a kasha on a question on Rava's halacha from a Tanaic source, namely the Tanaic source we saw above. The mashma, that it sounds from the source, the imav lad no lad, lifnei gemar din ho'ima. If the animal, the offspring, was born before the gemar din on the mother, havlad muteres, that the offspring is muter. Now, if that be Rava's din, the Tanaic source, Rava's din once again says that the offspring is usur, and the Tanaic source would seem to indicate that the offspring is mutter. How can we resolve this? Omar Mar, we have a quote now from that which was stated above, and in order to find where it's coming from, you can use the arrow that you see in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text and find the parallel arrow a few lines up. Im ad shalo nigmar dina yolda, if you have an animal that was murderous and it bore an offspring before the final verdict was rendered, vloda muteris, the offspring is allowed. It seems from here, this the following. You have the following scenario. A pregnant animal killed somebody. It gave birth to its offspring all before the Gemar Din. So the Gemara now asks, this is a long question. We featured this with a long question marking, as you can see, with the circled kuf and the dashed vertical line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The Gemara therefore asks, V'afal gav dechinokho have mi'abro, are you going to tell me that the Vlad is muteris even though when it gored it was pregnant? V'homa rovo, Vlad hanogachas osir. The embryo of a murderous animal is forbidden. He uvloda nokhu. We say that when the goring took place, the mother together with the Vlad. The Vlad was part of the goring. The Vlad was part of the murder. Vlad hanir bas as osir, the embryo of an animal that was part of an act of bestiality, the offspring is forbidden. He uvloda nir ba'u. When the forbidden sexual relations took place with the animal, it took place with the embryo inside of that very animal. So it's part of this forbidden relation. And that's what it means, he uvlada nirbu. The mother and the offspring were part of this forbidden relation. In order to resolve matters, we proceed with the Gemara. We notice a geometric form, and we featured its explanation on the side, the Mivneh. Chuvois liyashev habraiso im dinoi shel rava. Answers in order to resolve the Tanaic source with the din of rava. So we have a restatement now, and order of events will be of utmost importance to pay attention to. So Emo, say thusly, the frame represents a re-understanding of the Tanaic source. Aleph, im ad shelo nigmar dino ibra v'yolda, if prior to the gemar din it gave birth, it became pregnant, ibra means it became pregnant and gave birth, all before the gemar din, v'lada mutar, the offspring is mutar, because we say that the formation and the birth of it was not in a state of prohibition, because it all preceded the gemar din. We've, on the side of the Gemara, noted also this in a series of events fashion. We have the under Aleph, we have where the Vlad is mutter. Of course, it goes without saying there was a Negiha, there was a murder, the animal killed somebody, and then Ibra, Yolda, and then the Gemar Din. So you can see that the conception and the birth all took place before the final verdict was rendered on the mother. However, the source goes on, Im Mishenigmar Dina, if after the Gemar Din took place Ibra Vyolda, then the mother became pregnant and gave birth, Vlada Osir, the offspring is forbidden. And the explanation for this is, the offspring formed in a state of prohibition. The mother had received a Gemar Din, and after the mother was rendered prohibited through the Gemar Din, through the final verdict, it then became pregnant. This explanation is fine according to one of two opinions in a very well-known machlokes, the title of which is Ze Veze Goreim. When you have two contributing factors to the development of a particular entity, in this case, when you're dealing with the offspring, you have the mother and you have the father that impregnated the cow. True, the mother is forbidden because there was a Gemar Din, and afterwards it conceived an offspring. But contributing to that conception was a permitted factor, namely the father. Father was fine. That we are saying here that the offspring is prohibited, this works out according to the opinion that says that even though you have a contributing permitted factor, that does not serve as a mitigating circumstance, and the offspring is going to be usher anyway. So fine, that's what we see in this Tanaic source. But what are we going to do with the other opinion on this matter, that when you have a Zevizigorim situation, two contributing factors, one of which is permitted, its identity is not lost, and we say that the result in the Zevizeh Goreim will be permitted. So why is the source saying that the Vlad is forbidden? So let's continue now in the text. Ha Nicha, it is well that we say that the Vlad is Osir in the case where there was a Gemar Din, and after the Gemar Din it conceived and bore a child. That works out well, the Mador Zevizeh Goreim Osir, that when you have two factors, one of which is prohibited, even though you have a permitted factor, a contributing factor, it doesn't matter, it's still usher, then this makes sense. Elo, leman diomar zev is a gore mutter, but according to the opinion that says that when you have two contributing factors, one of which is permitted, the result is also going to be permitted, my eko lememar. What are we going to say in light of the Tanaic source that we've just interpreted? To put matters simply, according to Zev Zagori Mutter, even if it's conceived and born after the Gemar Din was stated on the mother, nevertheless, the father being a Goreim of Heter, the Vlad, the offspring, should be allowed. Elo Omar Ravina, Emo. So Ravina comes up with his rereading or understanding of the Tanaic source, and it will work out according to This is the way the opinion that holds Zev is a Gorim Mutter will understand the source. Once again, we have two situations. The first of which, by the way, is the same as the previous aim or the previous rereading. Im ad shelo nigmar dino. If prior to the Gemar Din, Ibra v'Yolda, everything took place prior to the Gemar Din, the conception and the birth. Vlada Mutter. This is the same as we saw before. However, when, under what circumstances will the Vlad be Usser? V'im, ad shelo nigmar dino Ibra. If prior to the Gemar Din, conception took place. U'mishen nigmar dino Yolda. And after the conception, there was a final rendering of a guilty verdict. And after that, there was birth. Vlada Usser. The offspring is forbidden. And why is that? Ubor Yerech Imohu. The offspring is an extension of the mother. We can say in simpler terms that the Gemar Din was stated on the mother and all of its limbs. And the offspring being an extension of the mother, the Gemar Din was stated on the offspring. And the Gemar Din was a guilty verdict. Hence, the guilty verdict is chal directly on the Vlad. And under such circumstances, the fact that its father was a permitted animal is of no consequence here. Kol chayve misois, the Mishnah said, shenis arvu ze boze nidoinin bakala. All capital punishment people that are guilty of capital punishment that got mixed up with one another. In the realm of capital punishments, there are four different Torah-legislated forms of punishment. If they got mixed up with one another, the form of punishment will be the lightest one that is applicable to this particular group. So what do we see here? We have a case. Let's just use one example. You have people that were chayav skila, that got mixed up with people that were chayav chenek. Everyone agrees that skila is more severe than chenek. What happens? We will give the people that are chayav skila, we'll give them chenek, the lesser of the penalties. When a warning was given to those in violation of the skila crime. Let us say, for example, someone was warned, do not violate Shabbos, because the violation of Shabbos carries with it a penalty of skila. When he gets mixed up with these other people, he's not going to get skila, he's going to get chenek. But part of his warning did not include, we didn't hear in his warning anything about chenek. How is it possible that we're going to be giving him chenek, the lesser death penalty? It must be assumed, therefore, and we'll ask this as the opening question of the Gemara, that a warning that's given to an offender that covers a major punishment includes therein anything that's less as well. So the Gemara opens up with this as a question. Shamas Minos, should we conclude? Musra, one who is warned, Ladover Chomor, for a serious offense, have a Musra Ladover Kal, is considered warned also for a lesser offense? In our terms, one who is warned that he will be receiving a Skila punishment, that includes anything that's less than Skila as well. The Gemara does not want to conclude that. Let us take a look at the title that we've assigned to this particular sugya, the Nosei, that you see written on the side. Ein lahasik mi mishnosenu. Do not conclude from our Mishnah, the musra ledover chomor havi musra lekal, that someone who is warned for something of a serious nature, that thereby includes within it a warning for something of a lesser nature. Elo, hai tana, Loboi Shiazkiru Shem Hamisa Bahasra Oso. Rather, the interpretation or the explanation that we're going to be given for this Mishnah is that this particular Mishnah represents an opinion that says that when giving a warning to an offender of a capital crime, there is no need to mention the punishment, the specific punishment that he will receive. It's sufficient that you say that this is punishable by death without getting into the specific type of death penalty. That being the case, so there is no issue of severe thing including more lenient thing, because all that's necessary is one general warning that states death penalty. Hence, everything is automatically included. Omar Rav Yirmiyah, Hocha b'mayaskinan, kegoin shehisru bo stam. Our Mishnah that features the mix-up of the different capital offenders, and they get the lesser type of punishment, is talking about a case where the warning that they received was a general warning. That's what's meant by hisru bo stam. Stam meaning unqualified, without specifying the specific type of death penalty. Vahai Tanahu, and our Mishnah represents the Tana, which will be the Tanakama in the following Tanaic source, that does not require, as part of the warning, the mention of which kind of death penalty. The source continues, Ushar Chayve Miso Shebatorah, all other types of capital offenses, other than the Mesis, the individual who attempts to seduce others into idolatry, all the other capital offenses, ein memisen oison, we do not put them to death, elo bi'eda v'edim, until you have a court of 23 and you have two witnesses, the hasra and a warning, v'ad shiodi'uhu shuhu chayav misas beizdin. And not only must you warn him that what he's about to do is in violation of the Torah, but you also have to mention to him that he will be guilty of a capital offense, if it be that type of avera. Let's just point out, in the case of the Mesis is an exception to this only with regard to the issue of the Hasra. The Mesis doesn't require a formal Hasra, as we've seen in previous sugyas. But as far as the other elements, the Eda, the court of 23, and two witnesses, those are present in the case of Mesis as well. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the source goes on with Rabbi Yehuda saying, differently than the Tanakama, he is the opinion that says that you require a specific mention of what type of death penalty. Rabbi Omer, ad shiodiu be'eze misa hu nerak, that the warning is not considered sufficient unless you mention the specific type of death penalty as well. At this point, we understand our Mishnah that mentioned that all the chayve misos that got mixed up with one another, we do not conclude from here the issue of musra ledavar hachomor includes a hasra ledavar hakal, because there is no necessity, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, who parallels the Tanakama in this Tanaic source, to mention anything about the specific type of death penalty one is to receive as part of the warning. As far as the two opinions in this Tanaic source, what is the basis for their shitas? Tanakama yolef mimakoshesh. The Tanakama says you don't have to mention the specific type of execution that he will receive, is learned from the parsha in the Torah called Mekoshesh. This we saw on our previous daf as well. The Mekoshesh was a person who was guilty of a Shabbos violation. However, it wasn't known what type of death penalty he was to receive, and yet he was put to death. So we see that you don't have to mention the specific type of death penalty one is to receive in order for him to actually be executed. Rabbi Yehuda says, I can't learn from the Mekoshesh, because the Mekoshesh was, he says, Mekoshesh haruas shah hoisa. The Mekoshesh was a one-time ruling, a contingency ruling. Rashi points out, He was guilty of death because the that was the divine will at, for him specifically. But we do not learn from the Mekoshesh as a precedent for future generations. We learn the source for warning from the Pasuk that says Yumas Hameis, Sheyatir Atzmo Lemisa, from which we understand that the one who is warned has to indicate upon hearing the warning that he doesn't care, that he allows himself, he is mafkir himself to death. Oisa Misa Mashma, the Rabbi Yehuda's understanding is he has to be matir atzmo lemisa, means he allows himself to be killed by a specific type of execution that was part of what he heard in the warning. Continuing in the Gemara, the Mishnah mentioned the mix-up of haniskolin b'nisrofin. Rabbi Shimon Omer nidoin b'skila. A mix-up of people that were chayav skila with those that were chayav srefa. One should understand when you see something phrased like this, haniskolin b'nisrofin, we've squiggled under the bays to indicate that they are the rove, they are the majority. You have the minority of people here were chayav skila, the majority of the people in this group of who are now mixed up, but the majority we knew were chayav the srefa penalty. In our Mishnah, we saw in this case of Niskom and Nisrafa, Rabbi Shimon said they will get skila, and then he offered as an explanation, Shasrefa Chamura, because Srefa is the more severe type of execution. The Chachamim disagreed. Before we read the Gemara, let's take a glance at the topic heading that appears in the margin of our pre-marked Gemara edition. The Nosei, Diyun, a discussion between Rav Yecheskel ubeno Rav Yehuda, between a father and son, Rav Yecheskel the father and his son, Rav Yehuda, Eich Ligrois Mishnosenu, how to, what version of our Mishnah should be taught, Kedei Lilamei Dinoi Shel Rabbi Shimon, in order to teach Rabbi Shimon's ruling, Loseis Skila Livnei HaTaroves, in order to give skila to the mix-up, to the group that contains these different types of different defendants, afapi sheruba nisrafin, even though the majority of them are nisrafin, Rabbi Shimon says they should get skila. In order to come to that conclusion, what is the proper text of the Mishnah? Let's continue now in the Gemara. Masni le Rav Yecheskel le Romi Brei. Rav Yecheskel was teaching his son Romi the following text. Hanisrofin b'niskolin. In this example, in this phrasing, it may be noted that the rove are to be stoned. Rabbi Shimon Omer yodunu b'skila. Shehasrefa chamura, they should get skila. And why should they get skila? Bearing in mind, of course, that the majority of this group are to be stoned. So why do they get stoning? So shasreifa chamura, because sreifa is the more severe penalty. The thought being, when we saw this in the Mishnah, shasreifa chamura, the thought is that when you have a lesser and more severe type of penalties mixed up, it's not fair, it's not right to take a lesser type offender and give him the more severe type of punishment. Hence, when we say that something is more chomer, that's supposed to be a signpost to indicate that since this is the more chomer, this is what we're not going to give them. Omerle Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is another son of Rav Yecheskel. He interjects and says, Abba, says, Father, lo tisne hachi, don't teach him like that, namely, hanisrofen biniskolim, because if you teach it like that, my irya desrefa chamura, of what significance is it to teach that the reason for getting the for receiving the skila is because the sreifa is the more severe form? Typically, according to your girsa, you can learn out the reason for the skila, the ruba niskalaninu, because the majority deserve skila. And in general, we say, the Torah says, achrei rabban latos, you are supposed to follow the majority. So that the reason for giving skila, according to your version, could be understood in a different way. Not because sreifa is more chamor, but simply because that represents the rov. Therefore, if you want to convey the idea of receiving skila simply because the sreifa is more chamor, then it would be preferable to give a different type of illustration. So the father asks, Elo hechiasne, so how should I teach it? Answer, so Rav Yehuda says, teach it like this. In fact, what we see now is the version we have in our printed Mishnah. Haniskolin benisrafim, stoning defendants get mixed up with those that are guilty of sreifa. The rov are nisraf, and Rabbi Shimon Omer yodunu b'skila, that even though the rov are to be nisraf, nevertheless we will give them all, including those guilty of nisrafin, but we simply don't know who is whom right now, they will all get skila. Why is it that they'll get skila? Shasreifa chamura, because the sreifa is the more severe penalty, and we don't give an oinish chomor, we don't give a severe penalty to someone who is guilty of something less. Therefore, even though the rov are to be nisrafin, nevertheless they do not receive that. They get the lesser punishment. Ihachi emo sefa, bearing all this in mind, continue reading in the Mishnah, and let's see if things make sense. V'chachomim omrim yadunu b'sreifa. The Chachamim say, in this very case, where the rov are nisrofen, they should get sreifa. Why? Shehaskilo chamuro, because stoning is more severe. So we can ask the same question as before. According to the Chachamim, the reason for getting sreifa isn't necessarily because the skilo is more chamor, tepuklei. You can learn out the reason they get sreifa is the ruba nisrofen in who. Rov, the majority of them are to be nisraf, and that would be a more simple teaching. You'd follow the rov, and the majority are nisraf, and so give them sreifa. So how are the chachamim conveying their opinion by setting up the din of sreifa under circumstances where the rov are to be nisraf anyway? So the Gemara answers, the Rabbanan in the Sefer are not trying to present their own opinion. Hasam Rabbanan hu de ko'amru lei the Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbanan were attacking Rabbi Shimon's position, as will be explained momentarily. Thusly, the Rabbanan are saying, we've put it in quotation marks, lididcha di amri sreifa chamura, according to you, who said that sreifa is the more severe penalty. Lo, that is incorrect according to us. Skila chamura. Omar le Shmuel le Rav Yehuda. Shinina. Shinina is an expression, an address, means a sharp one, wise one. Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, this is Shmuel turning to Rav Yehuda after he heard the way the son corrected his father. Here we have a little piece that deals with the halachas of Kibbutz Av Ve'Em. Lo temo lei la'avu chachi. Don't try to correct your father in such a direct fashion. Tisanya, we have a Tanaic source that deals with the way one is to deal with a father who is making a mistake. Harei shohi aviv oiver al divrei Torah. Behold, a person saw his father violating some Torah halacha. Lo yomar lo, abba avarta al divrei Torah. Don't tell him, hey, dad, you just violated a Torah teaching. Ela omer lo, rather, you should tell him the following. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice a piece that is bracketed off. The piece that's bracketed off, the Gemara will say, has in it an inaccuracy. The correct approach is what's found after the bracket. So for initial reading purposes, let's read it according to the final version. So how should one correct his father? Ella Omer lo, Abba. You tell the father when he sees him violating a Torah principle, you say thusly, Mikra kosuv b'Torah kach. There is a pasuk in the Torah that says whatever it says. That's germane to the particular event. Let's read the source again. Ella, with the bracketed section, Ella Oimerlo Abba. If you see your father violating a Torah teaching, you say to him thusly. And here the intonation is very important for the understanding of the source and the Gemara's correction. You say to him, Father, Kach Kosiv B'Torah, is that what it says in the Torah? With an expression of wonderment. Is that what it says in the Torah, indicating that what you're doing is not what it says in the Torah? So the Gemara asks, if that's the suggested proper way of correcting one's father, it's no better than what was said before. It's the same level of embarrassment. Sof sof, hainu hach. It's the same as telling the father, hey, Dad, you just violated the Torah teaching. Ella omer lo, rather the right way to speak to him is as follows. Abba, mikra kosuv b'Torah kach. Rashi points out on the fourth line from up to Ella, benichusa omer lo. Rather, you say it without a intonation of wonderment or exasperation. You say it in a calm tone. You say, mikra ha'omur b'Torah. The Omer lo, Abi Avi, Mikra Kach V'Kach Kosuv B'Torah. You say, Father, there is a pasuk that says, thusly and thusly. V'hu Atzmo Yosim Aliboy Ma Ze Mazkiro. The father will then understand why the son is mentioning this pasuk. V'hochi Nami Ein L'cho Lomar L'Avicha. And likewise, you should not have said to your father, Lo Tisnei Hochi. Don't teach him like that, as we saw on the previous Amid. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.